I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Show. I'm your host, Lynn Pryor. James Johnson is our technical director. We're coming to you from 100-year-old house, former home of the Gilbert Theater, here in historic Haymont in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This is show number 18. Our guest today is the outstanding young director, Stephen Santa. Steve has been named one of the top three directors in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is a Pittsburgh native and comes to town to direct the Gilbert Theater's fall opener, Young Frankenstein, the musical. Steve, welcome to our show and Fayetteville. I trust you're being treated well.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I've loved my time here so far.
Well, good. Now, we've all been listening to our wonderful theme song, Longing to Be on Old Broadway.
Cole Porter, right?
Cole Porter, one of his early ones. Thankfully, in public domain. Our budget, anyway. So we've been listening to it, and I can't help but ask every one of our guests,
maybe both by the end.
If they could be on Broadway, longing to be there, if you could be and could do anything you wanted, what would you like to be doing? From your looking at your resume, I suspect it's going to be directing.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, if I had the my ultimate kind of Broadway dream would be probably to work on a new piece and to be able to be there from the ground floor and work on the piece and get it together and work with the authors and be with the show from the very beginning through its workshop process, through previews, all the way to its glorious Broadway opening. So that would be the ultimate kind of Broadway fantasy for me.
Well, that process is just as exciting and challenging as deep in rehearsal, isn't it? All the prep you're doing.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Now, you, Steve, you see in front of you. Now, you're an equity actor.
Yes, that's true. And, although I don't act that often.
Well, and I noticed from your, resume, it is the show that you're directing here, The Young Frankenstein, is number 30.
Wow.
I didn't think you'd count it, though.
No, I haven't. That...
Anyway, I'm big on counts and lists. And yes, this is your number 30.
That goes by awfully quick. Wow.
Well, and you confided in me when you had been referred to as a wunderkind. Mm. And you were thinking, well, you know, Lynn, I'm not that young anymore. and you said, I'm going to be 30 in January. Well, this 30 seems to be everywhere. 30 plays, 30 years. But regardless, you are getting to be a seasoned person, that's for sure.
Yes, the whole wunderkind thing was, there's a reviewer in Pittsburgh who wrote that in a review of one of my productions, and I haven't been able to live that down. Every time people see me, they always ask me about that or say, wunderkind, so it's like, I'm getting to the point now where I can't, people can't call me that anymore. But.
Well, you should bring out your driver's license and say, hey, look, just shut up about it.
There you go.
Now, you'll notice a red box in front of you.
Yes, I see it.
This is kind of the dreaded piece of our show that many have said that they would just as soon I give up, but I'm not going to give up because it's too much fun, at least for a sadistic personality like my own. Because in a moment, you are going to take off that lid,
okay,
and you're going to find something in there, and then you are going to describe it very briefly.
Great.
Then you're going to tell a story about it.
Awesome.
Interesting story.
I can do that.
It can be made up, it can be true, or a combination. Are you ready?
Yes.
Take off that lid.
It's a very nice box, I might add.
Isn't it?
Yes. Is it?
No, it's the...
It's in here. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh. It looks like it is a bookmark made out of leather, and it says, "Be the Change" on it. So, it's funny that you have this in here, because... This is mine, Lynn. I feel like maybe...
Oh, my gosh. Well, kleptomania does run in my family.
Yes. I've been staying here so graciously at Lynn and Bob's house while I've been in Fayetteville, and I guess that Lynn went downstairs and took this bookmark. And this bookmark was given to me by my first grade teacher because she saw that I had such a knack for reading and for writing that she gave this to me on my last day of school.
Well, yeah. Well, beautiful, wonderful story. Wonderful story.
None of that is true, by the way.
Well, that is true. But either I'm now continuing to walk in my sleep and going down and rifling through your suitcase. Anyway, so
just
good story. Good story.
How heartbroken you would be if I found a drawer just full of them. Like, oh, she's giving them everyone.
Yes, exactly. Oh, all right. Thought I was special.
Now, Steve, let's talk about you.
Oh, great. Okay.
The subject of our show today. I'm looking at your list here of plays. The first one I see listed was way back in June of 2008.
And seems about right.
And the straight up in the latest one is ours. But I see your next play when you return to that wonderful city of Pittsburgh.
Glorious city.
Glorious city. You're going to be doing the Rocky Horror Show.
Yes, yes. I'm thrilled.
Well, it's terrific. We did it here three times. Whenever we got low of money, I'd say, all right, okay, we'll do that.
Whip out the fishnets. Let's do it.
and one of your actors in Young Frankenstein, Rhonda Brocky, who is playing Frau Bruckner.
Yes, horse whinny.
Horse whinny.
I'll add that later.
Add that in post.
All right, good. She did the choreography, and I was telling you, you might want to steal her ideas for There Is a Light.
Yes. I haven't asked her about how she staged that yet, but I definitely will, and maybe I'll get some inspiration from her.
Yeah, it's terrific. Anyway, so directing, well, you're an equity person, but you were saying you don't act much. So directing... You seemingly, according to this, do about four shows a year.
Yeah, sometimes more. I was actually counting today when I was thinking about this, and you had mentioned earlier that this was your 30th, and I said, was trying to count this year, and when I end with Rocky Horror, from January to December, it will be seven shows this year.
Well, and...
Which is crazy.
And, well, I'm here to suggest that gray, free head of hair you have. 10 years from now, you'll look distinguished.
I hope so.
All right. So, what is it about now? So many of this list of 30 are musicals.
Mm-hmm.
You gravitate toward those, or is it just back and forth?
I think that I do gravitate toward musicals because I think that's really what started my love of theater was. The musical and the singing and the dancing and the spectacle of it all. But I do love working on straight plays as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's less moving pieces in a straight play. So sometimes it's kind of, a little bit of a...
Yes.
Yeah. Less of a heart attack to put on a play.
Right.
Because you don't have to deal with the music and the choreography and the dancing. But I do definitely enjoy working on musicals. A lot.
And so it's in that... I see that it's not just Pittsburgh, but it's a number of cities. Are these all in the environs of Pittsburgh?
More or less. I've worked out of New York as well, and I've traveled all around Pittsburgh and and Pennsylvania in general, and now this is coming to Do Young Frankenstein is my first kind of regional show outside of Pennsylvania, other than some things I've done in New York.
I see.
And I worked on a national tour as well. So that tour went around the country, but I didn't travel with the tour.
I see.
I just rehearsed it and took it to Tech and opened that up.
So you also have, you sometimes do choreography.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't choreograph the ballet in Oklahoma, but I can do some smaller intimate numbers, maybe between a few of the actors that are kind of staging and a mesh between staging and choreography. But I wouldn't say I'm like, I wouldn't get hired to choreograph 42nd Street. Let's just say that.
I see. So now you're working with musical directors through all these shows. What do you like to find in a musical director?
You know, when I try to find anyone that I work with on a show, it just boils down to finding someone who is open to collaboration. Because putting on a show is collaboration. You have to work with everyone and... Mm-hmm. You know, you have to find someone or people who will just leave their egos at the door.
Yes.
And you come in and say, okay, we're here to put on this show. we're all going to work together and we're going to collaborate and we're going to do the best we can to put on the best product that we can.
Yeah. I used to say, and leave your problems at the front.
Yeah, same thing. Egos, problems. And I just like to work with smart and funny people.
Uh-huh.
Because after all, like we're putting on a show and, you know, we're doing it because we love it and it's fun. Yeah. So you have to find people that are going to keep that kind of environment going, this fun, kind of safe, positive environment.
Uh-huh. Well, I've said for years that the process is as important as the product. And as I watched your rehearsals, I was just so pleased that once again, the Gilbert way of doing things was being handled by you. And that is treating people with respect, being prepared, but we've all been in plays and shows where it's just product may be outstanding, but the process is diabolical.
One of the things that I learned early on, and from a mentor of mine who I had the opportunity to assist and direct for on two productions, one of the greatest things that I learned from this director is that the mood of the rehearsal hall becomes the mood of the show.
Yes.
So the way that you treat your rehearsals and the environment that you kind of get the process going is how the show's going to end up.
Yes.
So if it's not a positive, safe environment and the actors aren't having fun and feeling like, you know, that we have them, that they can trust the director, trust the choreographer, then that's going to transcend everything and there's going to be that kind of feeling over the whole entire experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can even get transferred over to the audience. So, you know, the mood in the rehearsal hall becomes the mood of the whole entire process.
Excellent. Well, what else would you like? Let's talk about Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, sure.
Now, had you'd seen the movie years ago?
Yes, I'm a huge Mel Brooks fan. Yeah. I've directed The Producers, which I love working on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And Young Frankenstein is formatted. The musical was formatted very similar to the way The Producers is formatted. So coming into this, I already kind of had that kind of Mel Brooks comedy under my belt coming into it. So that was nice.
But so much of the dialogue in the musical is just lifted straight from the movie script, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why change that? Because it was so brilliant. And so your cast, you came earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, I came down on the 4th of July, and we cast the show. And then in that time from the 4th of July to when we started rehearsals, the end of August, we had some people that dropped out and left us. We had to replace them. So Robin and I were kind of doing that back and forth via emails, watching videos, looking at people's resumes so we could fill the cast in. And then I arrived.
So you're having 3 weeks total, aren't you, to rehearse this?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's
2 weeks plus tech. So it's really 2 weeks plus a week of tech, because tech doesn't really, you know, that's a whole animal on its own.
Of course. Now you found this cast. You were responsible for choosing these people, and you're happy with your choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, everyone's really doing their homework, because you know, when you look at the schedule and you think of 2 weeks to rehearse a giant Broadway musical like Young Frankenstein, which is a giant musical, you have to come in prepared.
Yes.
If not, you're gonna sink, and you want to swim. You know.
Uh-huh.
So it's been great to see that they've been doing their homework and continued to do their homework every night. And I love actors that ask questions.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and they come up and say, "I tried this. What did you think? How can I do this different?" And that they're always thinking and always wanting to get better. And that just makes my job even easier.
So right off the bat, you probably made that clear that you were open to that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, sure. And so your notes are well received at the end of a rehearsal. How do you have a special way of doing them? Or?
It just depends. Last night we got out late, so I had to send my notes via email. And I prefer not to do that, you know, but when you get out late, that's something that you have to do. I like to just sit around and talk and give the notes and, you know, get feedback and make sure the actors clearly understand what I'm asking them to do. And you always want to try to give your notes in a positive way. You know, instead of saying, in this number, don't do this, you would want to say, in this number, why don't you try doing it this way? Right. So try to kind of spin the note in a positive way, because that's just how it is in life. Yeah. Anyway, when you hear a negative word like don't or didn't, then you're shut down.
Yes.
So you want to try to give that note in a positive way that so the actor can really take it and run with it.
So we're getting the clearly idea of why you're so successful at what you do with this philosophy. Now, so we'll leave that right there, Steve. And I'm going to ask Mary McGee if she would join us at our table.
For those of you who can't see Mary, Mary is a very unique person. I met her in July when I came down, and she's so fun. She has brightly colored hair. I see green, I see blue, I see purple, all kinds of amazing colors in her hair. She's a very bright person. Her appearance and her personality.
How isn't she?
Yes.
Now, Mary, I'm so glad that you're ready for our free for all. And James, you can certainly participate in our free for all. Our topic tonight is curtain calls. We think, oh, so what's curtain calls? A curtain call is a curtain call. Well, there's a certain ritual to it and a certain so on. And Steve, would you talk to that? To the overview for the listening audience, what a curtain call is supposed to do.
Yeah, so the curtain call is the time when the actors come out and they take their bow and, essentially thank the audience for coming and seeing the show, and the audience thanks them with their applause.
But isn't that, we've been doing a lot of talk about audience, listening to the audience, being aware of the audience talks back to you, doesn't it, every single night. And it all, a cough can say something, squirming in your seat can tell you something, standing ovation tells you something.
Looking for your program.
Looking for your program.
See people shuffling through their programs.
Picture, and all these various lights that people have. No, I've been known, no, I won't talk about what I've done to people who are reading their program. I haven't done it for a while, but I've been known to come up to people and snatch it out of their hands. If it's possible to get to them without having to climb over people. Anyway, yes, curtain call. But audience talks back then, too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, we've all been in plays where it's this kind of a standard procedure that every single performance gets a standing ovation, an SO. There are times when I've been in such a theater when I've said, I do not feel like standing up, but if you stay down, then you are very conspicuous. And so, sometimes I've watched audiences, kind of drag. Okay, this is one of the we're having to stand up now. I'm going to drag myself up out of the chair, and so they're talking back. So Mary, what can you tell us about? No, Steve, further, but the first people out are who?
The first people out are generally the ensemble track, people who are playing multiple roles, the dancers, things like that, generally, would be the ensemble.
Then it's straight through. Do you count line? How do you decide who's going to be in that, say, that middle group? And, there's a lot of parts that, might think, well, who does come next?
Well, sometimes it is tricky. Sometimes you have to sit down and try to map out as far as, who has the most memorable song, who has more songs. You clearly know who the lead and the lead actress are, and the lead actor are, because that's given. But sometimes those supporting roles can get a little bit kind of hazy in there. So you just have to figure out who has maybe the most memorable song or who has more songs, more dialogue, and then just kind of do it that way.
I see. Now, Mary, you've been in so many curtain calls. Any bad experiences?
Well, whoever is bowing last, whenever I run up and shove them out of the way, people get very angry with me.
Yeah, I can understand why.
Well, Mary, we
so
can't.
They threaten me with there's a sight on me if I do that. So I try to not do that.
Well, so I know that there have been problems with curtain calls through the years. This is why I'm appealing to St. Genesius on this one, Steve. The patron saint of actors. Dear St. Genesius, some of your faithful flock seek your guidance on the subject of curtain calls, namely curtain calls that are mishandled, calls that have you re-entering the stage with numerous other actors when you know your part was pivotal in several scenes, and yet you are in the mob. Dear St. Jen, do you agree with me when I recommend the following? Now is the time for you to make a real impression. Perhaps your first, by ignoring the lame little nothing bows the ensemble is doing, you do a crisp jazz bow, including throwing your right leg straight out, even if you kick a bit player in the rear end. They should have moved on by this time. I don't know why I'm laughing. I shouldn't. This is very serious.
It is.
Very serious. And I find myself occasionally, because it's laughter, Mary, that's covering concern.
Yes.
That's what it is.
The roller skates I was wearing in my last curtain call were very serious.
Well, it was serious, but for everyone but the audience. Okay, we'll just continue to sing to them. Then bring your leg into a deep diva bow with leg to the side, arms to the fly space, then clutching your chest, all the while lowering your head with an Eve Harrington half smile. Then sweep in front of everyone with a courtly bow. We eagerly await your guidance on this matter. Do you think this will help, Steve?
I hope so. The one thing I would add is curtain calls have to move fast.
Fast.
The show is over.
Wrist.
We don't want a 10-minute curtain call. Oh. Get out there, bow, move on for the next people to come out.
Well, so
it
you're
nice and, nice and quick.
You would say that my advice to this person is misdirected, because this is going to take quite a while.
Yes.
Anyway, well, here's the pro telling us what to do, crisp. Particularly if you sense the show has disappointed.
Have you ever seen a show where it just ends with, like, there's, the ending is just so dark that it just seems inappropriate to have a curtain call, like, happy music starts playing and people come out and bow?
Like, definitely, like, there's a dark moment, the blackout, lights come up, and the audience kind of sits there for a few seconds because...
Yes.
Hey, I don't know what to do. And then,
they don't know what to
and
do.
And the plot starts.
And exactly.
Yeah.
No.
But that's okay.
That's right. That's okay. Well, we come to our quiz.
Oh, great.
Now, I want to increase your... Thank you, Mary, so much for helping.
Thanks,
with,
Mary.
Thank
with
you for
that.
Having me. Thank you for saying all those nice things.
James is going to be our person keeping score. I'm being a little bit tentative in my... approach to this, Steve, because frequently James finds it hard to do. Keeping the score, but I
he's got a lot to do right now.
I'm
doing this technical directing.
Well,
thing.
I suppose he's going to want something extra in his pay packet. I should shut up right now, and I'm not going to talk about calling your mother. That's for sure. Now this quiz, okay? If you are successful with this quiz, your prize is this wonderful book, and tell me you don't own it, Beautiful Morning, the Broadway musical in the 40s.
I don't own that book, but it looks great.
Ethan Mordden, he's one of the just top people in this field. Here's the table of contents: musical comedy, Stars, The Road to Oklahoma, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Americana, the dance musical, operetta, fantasy.
We need one more page. We have to pay for the rights.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm joking. Okay.
No, James is keeping me from having to pay rights.
Well, it's interesting because I see another bookmark that you stole from me in that book.
At least I was after something useful.
That looks great. I love. One of my favorite shows is Oklahoma, so I'm seeing that picture on the front cover. So
all right. So
I do well here.
Okay, good. So what? This is the quiz. All right. Andrew Lloyd Webber has written, according to my research, 14 musicals. And I'm sure someone is going to call in or checks me or something and say, no, it's now 15. Well, anyway, I'm saying 14.
All right, here are
14 that matter.
Give or take.
Okay, give or take. Now, what your task, Steve, is you have to name a certain number from that list, from his body of work.
Okay.
And if you reach a certain number, this book is yours.
Oh, that's the whole quiz?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's very it's brief this time because of the time frame. Steve, dear listeners, has to return to the Gilbert to lead rehearsal tonight. And so we're starting early, and we are moving right along, I like to think. All right, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, start naming. And okay. James is going to check.
So we have Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We have Jesus Christ Superstar. We have Evita. We have Cats. We have Sunset Boulevard. It should be on there. Like, he's looking. We have Starlight Express. We have Whistle Down the Wind. We have... How many is that so far I've gotten?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 so far.
7, that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Let me keep thinking here.
Some of the lesser known ones.
Some of the lesser known ones. Phantom of the Opera. How could I miss Phantom of the Opera? That's not lesser.
We haven't heard of that.
We've definitely heard of Phantom
of the
Opera.
A little bit of
show,
Phantom of the Opera. Yeah.
Song and Dance. Is that on there?
Okay.
Maybe he didn't write that.
I don't think he wrote that.
I don't think he wrote that. No. Sorry. Well, By Jeeves. You have By Jeeves on
yes,
there.
Yes, we do have.
Yes.
My gosh, you're good.
There's a new one coming called School of Rock that's coming to Broadway
and
next year.
My reference book did not...
Yeah, well, that's very new.
Not that
is that
just,
based off the film?
It is based off of the Jack Black film,
He's doing film adaptations now?
Let me think.
Well, I hear that he's really... low on money.
Well, I think that's why he's trying to get back to the... I don't think he could ever be low on money.
Well, you know what?
I did pretty good.
You did well. Jane, how many?
You got...
did I say cats? I said cats, right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Well, you had to guess 7, and you guessed 9. It's yours.
Oh, good.
Wow. That's
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do you want to know the ones
I'm looking
know?
At the list here, yeah. Tell me on a Sunday.
He'll tell you the ones that...
The Woman in White.
Oh, yes. That didn't do very well.
The Beautiful Game. I'm sure he's forgotten about it.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
The Likes of Us Lyrics By.
I've never heard of that one.
Was The Likes of Us Lyrics By... Was that like a bonus or something? Yeah, he only does lyrics or... Okay. Wow.
I got all the kind of big ones.
Well,
he's known for
very impressive. Scene.
Thank you.
Now we come to our portion of our show where we talk, share memorable quotes, the quotes of the week. And this one, the last couple of shows, we've been talking about theater criticism, Steve, with two veteran actors, directors sitting in your place, and
they had to share one seat.
Oh, geez, wow.
Well, our budget doesn't... We can't pay for two. But one of my favorite theater critics is Kenneth Tynan, the English critic. And this is his wonderful biography. And I have a quote here. It's a London stage, a West End show. And he is seeing years ago West Side Story.
Okay.
And this... He was just a brilliant critic. But this is what he said about West Side Story. All six of us enjoyed West Side Story to the utmost in our respective ways. Leaving our seats, I heard one lady say to another, I was watching the PM, the Prime Minister, that was Harold Macmillan in those days, and the tears were running down his face. I can't vouch for that, but I can say that we all had a glorious time. And he's a very, very critical critic. Very fault-finding critic. Anyway, that's our quote of the week.
Very nice. He used one of my favorite words, which is glorious. I love that word.
Glorious, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it applies to so much of your work.
Let's hope that word gets used in my reviews a lot coming up in my career, hopefully. We'll see.
I'm sure that will. Now, can we come to this time? Any superstitions? Over the weeks, we've shared them. I'm afraid I've come out of... haven't learned any new superstitions. Do you have any superstitions yourself that you always follow? Some talisman or something you carry in your pocket or around your neck?
I don't have any superstitions like that because I'm neurotic enough without having to carry something in my pocket like a rock or a lucky rabbit's foot. But I'm always very respectful of theater ghosts because most theaters that you go to that have history are generally haunted.
Yes.
So I'm always kind of respectful of whatever that theater, some theaters have certain can't do or can't say because of the ghosts, and I'm always trying to be respectful of that.
Well, I'm so glad you are because the Gilbert ghost is moving around. He was here, and I'm not kidding. He was here at the house all the years we were here. Then when we moved down where you are rehearsing, he came back. People saw him here, there. I'm being serious. But he has come back here, and I was, we call him Gil. And I see frequently have insomnia, and I was in the office watching surely something on PBS when I heard something, and I got up and I went over to this door that leads to the old theater, and we have a chain there, and this may spook you out. You have a few more nights here.
I'll be okay.
Anyway, Bob always puts the chain up at night. The chain, and this is 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've come down and I'm just looking at something on television. I hear a noise. I look over. The chain has been removed and is still moving.
There you go.
So it's a friendly ghost. I haven't heard anything bad. I think he's looking out after all of us.
Okay, well, there's can I tell my ghost story real fast?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So there's a theater that I work at in Pittsburgh. It's called Stage 62. It's a great theater, and they the theater that they use is a Carnegie Music Hall. It's an Andrew Carnegie Free Library and Music Hall that was built. It's very old, and there's a ghost who sits in the balcony. And I've never seen him. And I've done 4 or 5 shows with this theater, and I'm always dying, waiting to see the ghost. And all of my friends have seen him, and a few people have seen him. So the last show I did there was in August and July. And we were in tech, and the stage manager and myself and one of our crew members were just packing up and leaving. We were in the back of the house, turning off all the lights, and we were talking about the ghost. And I said to this crew member, we're going to leave. We're going to lock you in here with all the lights off and see how long you can last with the ghost. And immediately after we said that, all the lights were off. The light board was off. Sound, everything was off. And we said, we're going to lock you in here and shut the door. One of the lights came on in the balcony where he sits. One of the stage lights. And was shining right on the stage. So we said, it's time to go. And we shouldn't joke around about the ghost. He just gave us a gentle reminder that he was here.
Yes.
And that we shouldn't joke around about seeing him. So.
They are, and with good reason. We need all the help we can get. Let's move to James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just, one of the first plays I ever did was Bluxy Blues. And during one of the shows, like, the actors backstage were watching what was going on stage. And nobody could figure out why there seemed to be there's like a line of beds towards the back of the stage. There appeared to be a young woman seated in one of the beds on stage during the show. And we were like, there's a lady on our stage. We can't, like, it's supposed to be a lady on the stage. There's no lady in the cast. Eventually the lights came up and suddenly there's no lady up there. And I believe the director just said, oh yeah, that occasionally happens. There's a ghost.
It's very, very frequent. And these people who never quite made it big keep coming back. Now, we have book sharing by this time.
Yes, book sharing.
And I've asked you to be ready to share a book.
Yes. The book that I wanted to share with everyone in your audience is called Without You: A Memoir of Love, Loss, and the Musical Rent. So if anyone out there is a Rent fan, it's written by Anthony Rapp, who was the original Mark Cohn in the original production of Rent on Broadway. Was also in the movie as well. And if you don't know the history of Rent, the composer of the show passed away very suddenly.
It was an opening night
of the off-Broadway production. So the book chronicles the journey of taking Rent from Anthony's first audition all the way up until its Broadway premiere and afterwards. And it talks about what happened with Jonathan Larson's death, and then also throughout the book and when the show started to move to Broadway, Anthony's mother dies of cancer. So it's this beautiful book because it's talking about putting this musical together, this historical musical, and then all of the things that are happening in his life with his mother's death and the passing of his mother and the passing of Jonathan, and this kind of beautiful moment in time where beauty was happening, but also this pain was happening at the same time. Yes.
Sounds marvelous, and we did Rent 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was superb. Well, thank you for sharing. The title again is?
It's called Without You, A Memoir of Love, Loss, and the Musical Rent. It was on the New York Times bestseller list.
Huh.
And Anthony and I actually got to work on a show together. So
wow.
It was one of these kind of cool things that I grew up loving Rent and loving him and follow his career, and then had the opportunity to work with him on a show. So it was one of those surreal moments for me. And now we are good friends, and we're both baseball fans, and we talk about baseball all the time, and always get together when we're in New York.
Wonderful. So. Oh, Steve, terrific story. And now, James' mailbox. I've gotten several letters this week. One from friends in the UK who love listening to our show. And when they lived here in Fayetteville, we were doing Molly Sweeney, and I don't know if you know that play or not.
She's not.
A blind woman, and they helped build the set, and they were reminiscing about that, and they love what we're doing. But hello to Jeff and Allison. Well, I am picking up my stopwatch.
Here we go.
Which usually sends somewhat of a tremor down my guest's spine. You're having 60 seconds to tell how you would change theater, should we say, in America?
Great.
In general. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go.
Here we go. So there is a conversation happening now in the theater community regarding diversity in theater and the discussion about colorblind casting and when it is appropriate and when it is not appropriate to cast different races in your shows. Right now we have this amazing production happening in New York called Hamilton, which is all about Alexander Hamilton, and the whole cast is African American or people of different descents, and so the diversity is happening in the theater, and I want to see it happen more. Right now there's a show opening on Broadway. It's a revival of Spring Awakening, and they're making history as well because it is a deaf cast and a hearing cast, and also they have the first person ever on Broadway who's in a wheelchair. So I really want to try to get diversity happening more in theater and getting people to think outside of the box when casting a show, and looking beyond the borders of the script.
The convention. Yeah. All right. All those wonderful ideas in a minute and 8 seconds. Very good. Very, very good.
Oh, I didn't do it in a minute.
Well, we're a little bit flexible on this. Time to honor birthdays, Steve. These are our celebrated birthdays. Michael Feinstein was born on this day in 1956. Colin Firth, this day in 1960. Amy Irving. I was her father, Jules Irving, and Priscilla, his wife, her mother, was teaching at the University of San Francisco when I was there. That's why I wanted to go there, because he was there. And she was born that year. That dates me. I went there in 1953. That's the year she was born. And I remember when she was born, and he was a marvelous director and teacher, Jules Irving, who then went on to Lincoln Center, I think. Anyway, someone will correct me, I'm sure. Zoe Caldwell was born on this day in 1933. James, any other birthdays that you heard about in the cast
Leanne Val Kersel, her husband is birthday, and he's often volunteered and helped out with the theater.
He's been a techie and all. Mm-hmm. Leanne, who is doing the musical director at Young Frankenstein.
Yes, it was my mother's birthday yesterday. Right. Happy birthday, Mom.
Okay.
Tomorrow, Amy Cox's birthday, and Amy Cox works a lot with the Sweet Tea Shakespeare people.
Okay, thank you. All right, call board. James, what do we have? We could do a whole show on what's coming up, can't we?
Yes. Wow, we have a lot coming up. We have Young Frankenstein, which, when's Young Frankenstein opening?
It opens on Friday.
This Friday.
Yes.
Okay, so, when is it running?
The show runs until October 4th, and it runs Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. There's two shows on Saturdays, 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock. So awesome. 3 weeks of madness.
Wow, and that's happening at the Gilbert Theater. The Cape Fear Regional Theater is doing Man of La Mancha.
As we speak.
It opens on the 17th, September 17th, and it runs to October 11th. And
Steve and I both saw Temple's newest opening for their current season, My Fair Lady, and we loved it.
Yes,
very, very much.
Is that show still running?
Well, it just got started. It has two more weekends at Temple in Sanford. My Fair Lady, don't miss it.
Okay, cool. And
anything at the universities?
I know the Greensboro has that show that Kylie is doing.
Oh, right. Our Kylie is in it. Yeah. I was hoping to get up there, but I can't make it. I think that's everything.
Yeah. Fortunately, you know, I don't think she'll be listening to this particular episode, so she won't be upset with me for the fact that I do not know the name of her show.
Well, she'll forgive you. Now, this is a listener challenge next, Steve. It's a question I've been asking every week, and James, has we had anybody attempt an answer?
No, you've asked like twice at the end of two shows.
You see, I'm waiting.
That were like an hour.
So are you saying our shows are so boring that people have tuned out?
Statistically.
And we never get to. Okay, starting next time, I'll put this feature earlier on. Okay, here's the question. Who is George Spelvin? And this is the question, is a lovely guess for the person who guesses it right first. That would be include you if you want. Well, maybe. Okay.
Vin or Win?
Pardon?
Vin or Win?
Spelvin. S-P-E-L-V-I-N. Okay. George Spelvin. Yes. I want to thank our guest tonight, Steve Sato, for being here, taking time. I know you have to dash down to rehearsal just a minute. It was just wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. If anyone wants to, just a quick plug here, you can look at my website. It's stevensanta.com. There's lots of cool pictures and videos from my productions.
I should have thought of that. Thank you for bringing that, of course.
He's showing t-shirts.
Not yet. Maybe one day.
This is Lynn Pryor asking James to dim the lights and go to black. Well, I urge you all to find a play to see this week. So until next Thursday, thank you for your company. Steve, we have a pod script. I'll get that right one of these weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question that I've been asking for some time now. And so far, I haven't had a correct answer. The question is, what is the universal question?
I have no idea.
Steve has no idea. James and Mary are shaking their heads still, not coming. I know the answer, what the question is.
When will you tell us?
It's going to be a while because I'm building suspense. I'm trying to raise the money to buy bumper stickers, have those around town. It's building suspense. But one of these days I shall share, and it's going to change the world.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. he'll be back where the boys all